I've been also inspired to start a new series, and I want you to go along with me. I came across a flag, and go ahead and show this flag. But I came across a flag, and when I, you know, I've seen this flag before, but I didn't really know the meaning behind it, right? I think, you know, for some of you, you're like, let's fight, you know, and that's cool. But, you know, I want you to know kind of the history behind this flag. And so I want to tell you a little bit about that. I didn't know a whole lot about the flag, so I did a little research. And in many instances, this flag is known as the Gadsden flag. It was named after a colonel named Chris Gadsden, who designed this flag for the first commander-in-chief of the United States Navy around 1775. Later on that same year, we see this flag or this emblem or this symbol show up on a set of drums that a few Marines were carrying. They were the drum corps for the Marines, and they painted their drums yellow, and they put this symbol and the snake and everything on it, and the symbol and the logo on their drums. Well, in December of 1775, there was an anonymous letter that was sent to the Pennsylvania Gazette, written by an anonymous writer who called himself the American Guesser. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it's G-U-E-S-S-E-R. I think it's Guesser. But here's something that the writer noticed. And the writer wrote this letter, noticing the drums, noticing, you know, the snake and the phrase. He pointed out a few things in his letter. Obviously, the snake is a American timber rattlesnake. I don't know if you knew that, but that's what type of snake that actually is. And it occurred to him that this rattlesnake is only found, it's not found in any other quarter of the world besides America. So that was the first thing he noticed. He wrote that the rattlesnake never begins an attack. You ever thought about that? I mean, I've been around rattlesnakes a little bit. I thought about bringing one. Would that have been cool? Yes, it would have been cool. I still might do it. I'm not going to play with it. you know, they play with them in the Bible. Why can't I? I'm just playing. But the rattlesnake never begins an attack. I don't know if you've noticed that when you've been around them. But once engaged, guess what? She never surrenders. Right? He also noticed that she never wounds until she has generously given notice even to her enemy and cautioned him against the danger of treading on her. He goes on to write, "I confess I was wholly at a loss, you know, at what to make of the rattles till I went back and counted them," and you can count them, and he found them to just be 13, exactly the number of colonies united in America. And I recollected, too, that this was the only place or the only part of the snake that increased in numbers. 'Tis curious and amazing to observe how distinct the independent of each of the rattles of this animal are, and yet how firmly they are united, the rattles, so as never to be separated, but by breaking them to pieces. Now, one of these rattles singly is incapable of making or producing any sound. I mean, you think about it. One rattle by itself doesn't produce any sound, he said. But the ringing of 13 together is sufficient to alarm the boldest man living. Now, you say, well, what's all that mean? Well, does anybody know who the real writer of that letter was? Anybody? You want to guess? Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin wrote a letter to his own magazine, the Pennsylvania Gazette, and wrote this letter in light of what he saw on the drums, and he inquired about it. And you say, you know, you may think of this, you know, flag in a different light, and that's okay. I'm not here to do any kind of political push or any kind of party push. I'm here to do an American push. Amen? Amen? So for me, yeah, let's clap a little bit today. Let's get a little bit crazy today. Here's why. I believe, you know, and there's another sign that many of you know. It's called the First Navy Jack, and we can show that picture as well. This was also a patch, or is a patch, or a flag that many of our United States Navy ships raise on the jack staff of their ship. After 2011, 9/11, or actually 9/11, not 2011, but after 9/11, this symbol was authorized to fly on every jack staff of every naval ship that is owned by the U.S. And if you look at the uniforms of our Navy SEALs and our Navy, they wear this patch on their shoulder. And on the opposite side, they wear the American flag. So, that being said, you say, well, what's the point? Well, based on the meaning and the principles of this flag, I want to start a series called or entitled, Don't Tread on Me. Now, you say, well, what's that about? Well, the subtitle is this, Fighting for the Things That God Cares About. Fighting for the things that God cares about. Now, I believe as Americans that, and as Christians, we have the right and the responsibility to fight for the things that God cares about. It's not a, again, it's not a political thing. Some of you guys are like, he's gone political on us. He's going to run for Congress. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. But I believe that the issues that we are facing in our world need to be addressed, and they need to be addressed from the Word of God, not just from a political party. You know why? Because they're a moral issue, not a political issue. I'm just telling you, they're not. I mean, people have made them political issues, and we have politicians that fight for these issues, but I am here convinced that they're moral issues of our world. And we have the answers found in the Word of God on how to fight these moral issues or the lack of. So you say, well, you know, what's the whole idea? I believe that we have the right and the responsibility to fight for the things that God cares for while at the same time caring for those who oppose us. You getting it? I mean, because again, we look at this flag and we go, don't tread on me. Bring it. I mean, that's what we want to do. But here's the truth. I believe that those who oppose us, we ought to care for them. I believe that's the way that God would want it. And so when we speak truth in what? In love. And so like the rattlesnake on this flag or on the other flag, we are not called to begin an attack just for the sake of attacking. Are you with me? I mean, I want you to hear this because this is maybe going to rock your world and maybe going to cost you something. But we don't just attack for the sake of attacking. But here's what I would say. When the things of God that God stands for are attacked, we are to show courage and never surrender. Never surrender. Never quit. And also, I believe that like the rattles are no good by themselves, they don't make any sound, they don't threaten anybody, I believe that we too must not try to fight this battle alone, but come together and fight the good fight of faith. So today, I want to start by setting the battlefield for what I believe that Christians ought to fight for. And some of you may be saying, well, Bo, there's never a place for fighting. I believe that the Word of God, and I believe that Jesus himself would teach us differently. I do. You say, well, how do you know? Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, look at it with me. In verse 1 and verse 8, it says this, for everything there is a season. And it's a season. It's not a forever deal. But for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for what? War and a time for what? Peace. So here's my main point for today. There is, number one, there is a time for war. There is a time for war. Do you ever wonder, I oftentimes wonder, where did all this evil come from in our world? Anybody ever wonder that? I do. I mean, and here's the thing. I believe I found some of the answer. Here's why, and I want to explain this. We live in two dimensions in this world. We live in a physical dimension where we can taste it. We can see it. I mean, it's the world that we live that's around us. I mean, it's the visual, tangible things that we see. And in this dimension, there are going to be physical wars that we must fight. They did it in the Bible, and they do it today. And I proudly support the soldiers that fight for even us now. But there's, yeah, come on now. But there's another dimension that many of you guys have maybe not been aware of. There is a spiritual dimension. And in this dimension is full of powerful spiritual forces, both good and evil. You say, well, what do you know? How do you know that? Well, Ephesians 6, look at it. It says, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the evil rulers and the authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. You know what that's saying? I mean, while we fight physical people sometimes in a war, we are not only called to fight that war, we're called to fight a war that is a spiritual war. In this spiritual dimension, there are angels that want to help us, and there are angels that want to defeat us. And I'm going to tell you about one angel that we should fear the most. He is known as the accuser. He is known as the evil one. He is known as the liar. He is known as the murderer. He is the enemy, and his name is the devil. And listen, contrary to what you maybe have seen on Halloween, he's not a person who is dressed up in a red suit with a pitchfork. It's not the devil. He is the ruler of the world, and his number one goal is to destroy us. And so whether you like it or not, we are at war. And we're called to fight. And so that's you know, where I believe the evil comes from. And can I just tell you, this war is not a joke. You say, well, that's just spiritual things. I mean, that's what the preacher fights, and I'm just going to be on my own. No, listen, it's not a joke. It's not like a football game with your bros in the front yard, and you guys just walk away, and you know, you laugh about the loss, or you laugh about, you know, what happened in the front yard. No, this is a life or death situation. It's a matter of eternal significance. Therefore, if we are in this battle, we are not to let the devil tread on us, but to fight him with God's strength. 1 Peter, listen, 1 Peter chapter 5, it says this, stay alert. Watch out for the great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And what's it say? Stand firm against him and be strong in the faith. And so here's my point. I believe that all Christians are called to wage war against evil. Against evil. You say, well, does that mean we're supposed to fight human beings? I think there's some things that we can learn on how to fight human beings in a God-honoring way. But I believe that we are called to fight evil. And you say, well, how do we fight that? Well, I believe that we find the answers in Jesus himself. You ready? Here's subpoint number one. You say, well, how do we fight? Well, we look at Jesus, and guess what he did? Number one, he turned over tables. You say, well, what's that mean? maybe you've never heard this story, but look at Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. It says this, and I want to set this up. The devil is attacking the temple. He's attacking the temple by placing robbers and thieves and all these, you know, people that are selling things in God's temple. And God's temple was not put in place so that people could profit and make money. It was put in place to become a place of prayer, a place for people to worship. And look at Matthew chapter 21 at Jesus' response to these people. Jesus entered the temple courts and what? What did he do? Drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those who were selling doves. You say, well, what is that saying? I mean, what does Jesus show us there? I believe that Jesus is showing us that he got ticked off. Oh, no, Jesus, he's a loving, you know, little sheep-hugging kind of a guy. No, listen. You can't just justify it and say, well, no, he came in there and was all sweet and was like, would you guys please, you know, move these tables out of here? No, what did it say? He drove them out. He turned the tables over. He got ticked and he cleared the temple. He didn't ask please. He did it with force and he did it with action. And you may be saying, well, wasn't Jesus wrong for doing that? No, listen, I mean, Jesus was all about peace. But he says it's okay to be angry, but not to sin in your anger. Does that make sense? And so though he was angry, he did not sin in his anger. He stood up and he fought for what he knew was right. And so, listen, you say he is about peace, but he's also about fighting evil. He got angry and he didn't allow the sin to continue. You say, well, but, you know, you maybe say, well, what does that look like for us? That's the question that I want to ask. That's the question that haunts me. What does that look like for us? I mean, as Christians, are we supposed to be this loving group of people that loves everybody? Absolutely. Are we supposed to support and love everybody, even those that are our enemies? Absolutely. Are we supposed to welcome them in and take care of them even if they oppose us? Absolutely. It's what Jesus did. But at some point, you have to realize that we are in a fight. And you say, but what kind of fight? Well, again, are we supposed to go to Fist City with people? Are we supposed to destroy property of those who oppose God? And the answer is definitely no. Did you hear that? Don't walk out of here and go, this guy's a tyrant trying to get us to go fight with fists and destroy stuff. The answer is no. But I do believe that the evil things of this world should anger us. They should anger us. The injustice of this world, the things that aren't according to the Word of God, that everybody is pushing, I believe they should anger us. They should, and without sinning, we are called to take a stand. We're called to take a stand. You say, well, Bo, how do we do this? Well, I believe that I have the answer for that too, and it's found in the Word of God. And here's the answer. We expose evil. We expose it. I mean, listen to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at what it says. It says, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of the light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. And verse 11, listen to this. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, what's the word? Expose them, making the most of every opportunity in these evil days. You say, well, but what does that all mean? Well, it means that we don't take part in the deeds of darkness. In other words, there's people out there that hate us enough to want to come kill us. We're not supposed to be those people. You say, well, aren't we supposed to hate people? No. The Bible doesn't say hate people. That's a deed of darkness. Are we supposed to be violent? No. That's a deed of darkness. Are we supposed to, commit evil crimes against these people? No, that's a deed of darkness. But we are called to expose these deeds, even if they're a part of a Christian group. Does that make sense? If there's hatred going on in the church, I'm gonna expose it. Just like I would expose the people that oppose us that live over our seas. Does that make sense? And so we are called to expose this. God's word shows us that we are to be a people of the light. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, we are called to produce what is good, what is right, and what is true. That's what we're called to produce. You say, how do we fight this fight? Can I just give you a few ways that you should fight this fight? I believe that you should fight this fight by honoring your authority. You say, well, I don't know about that. You say, well, what is that? What does that mean? Well, I want to read a verse to you in 1 Peter, and it's not on the screen, but I'm gonna read it anyways, because I believe that this is how we should fight. You ready? It says this, and this is something that you need to hear and I need to hear. It says, submit yourselves to the Lord's, or for the Lord's sake, to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as a supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to condemn those who do right or commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as one to cover up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the king. You say, what does that mean? Well, here's what I believe it means. Every authority that has been put into place, we are to honor. Now you say, does that mean we're to obey anything that goes against our religious beliefs? I'm not saying that. That's where we fight. But we are to honor the authorities that God has put over us. Here's the other thing that I believe we ought to do. And this is how we fight. We raise our children and we raise our families to honor authority as well. We raise them to love those who oppose us. We raise them to show that although we stand opposed to the things of this world, we are going to reach the world. We are going to engage the world. We are going to love the world. You know what the Bible just said? It said that silences the ignorant talk from foolish people. That's one way we are to fight. So I want to say that because, again, so all we want to do is fight. And all we want to do is, you know, get in somebody's face. Well, that's part of the way that we do that. We are to produce what's good, what's right, and what's true. And not sit idle and let the deeds of darkness take over our land. We can't do it. And you say, well, how do we fight? Well, Jesus turned over some tables, got angry. It's okay to get angry as long as you don't sin in your anger. Number two is this, and this is what Jesus did. He was silent. You say he fought that way? I mean, he was silent. How did he fight that way? Well, listen, I mean, he's been taken and he's arrested. He's fixing to die on the cross. And a week before, or actually around this day before he's fixing to die, listen to what happens in Matthew 26. It says, those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. Then, this is attack. This is an attack against Jesus. Verse 60, it says, but they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, this fellow said that I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, are you not going to answer? He says, what is the testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained what? He remained silent. You said, but what's that? I mean, what do you mean by this? Well, here's what I'm thinking. You may be thinking, well, why didn't he fight? I mean, the disciples were standing around him. They were grabbing swords. They were ready. They were ready to fight. They were, hey, let's get this thing on. I want to end this right here. But Jesus was silent. He was silent. And you say, well, why? Well, here's why. Jesus was silent when he knew it was God's will for him to be silent. It was God's will for him to be silent. He knew that. Did he fight against sin and darkness and evil? Yes. But did he also know when to be silent and let God's will be done? Yes. Now, here's the point. Many Christians, all they want to do is fight. All they want to do is yell. They think all I got to do is get a little bit louder and then everybody will listen. And I just want to stay loud. But listen, winning many times doesn't look like winning on earth. But when we are called to be silent on certain issues and God has impressed that on our hearts, we need to shut up and let God do what he wants to do. Amen? I'm telling you, this is something that God is dealing with me about. Now, in many cases, God has a plan for all of this. In every case, he has a plan for all of this. And many times, we don't help the situation until we shut up and let God work. And you say, well, what's the key, Bo? What are you trying to say to me today? Here's the key. As Christians, we must be able to discern what God's will is for each and every battle. Sometimes we are called to get angry and turn some tables, but sometimes we are called to be silent. We need to heed what Ephesians chapter 5 says in verse 10. It says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. If fighting for what God cares about and what pleases him is pleasing to the Lord, then we need to fight for his glory with his weapons, the spiritual weapons of this war, of the spiritual dimension. But if being silent will bring him glory, then we need to be silent. So here's what I want to say in closing. I personally believe, and this is my personal conviction, I believe that God wants me to fight. In the season of my life right now, I feel like there is a war going on, and God has said, Bo, I want you to fight. You say, well, what does that look like? Well, I don't know. I have no idea. It may be that I fight through preaching this series, and this is how I take a stand for God's glory. I don't know. It may be, and this is my prayer, that this would open up a conversation with those that oppose us so that we can work through and maybe figure some things out and make our world a better place. I don't know. But I believe personally that God has called me to fight. And you say, fight for what? I believe that God has called me to fight for the things that God cares about. He is asking me to look into the eye of the evil one and with all his strength and all God's strength to proclaim to the evil one, don't tread on me. I will not surrender the things that God cares about. I will fight. And so the question is, what is God saying to you? You don't need to listen to what he's necessarily saying to me. You need to say, what, God, are you saying to me? Are you calling me to fight? Are you calling me to speak the truth in love? Are you calling me to take a stand when I know I'm supposed to? Are you calling me to shut up? Can I give you one reason that you ought to be silent, and I know you ought to be silent? Here's why. If you don't love someone, shut the crap up. And I'm just telling you, if you don't love people enough to speak the truth in love, then you need to shut up. It's just the truth. I believe God opposes that. And he doesn't bless that. And so listen, the question, God is asking you the question. Or you need to ask God the question, am I called to fight right now or am I called to be silent? I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. What is God saying to you? Is he telling you to take a stand and fight for what you know is right and what you know the Word of God stands for? Maybe you've been silent when God has told you to speak out. Maybe you've been vocal when God has told you to be silent. But here's the truth. God is not calling us to sit idle and do nothing. He's calling us to fight, and we do that the way that Jesus did it. And so maybe you're here today and you're thinking, well, Bo, I am, you know, being called to fight for what you have said you're going to fight for. How many of you guys, nobody's looking around, but how many of you guys feel like God is telling you to fight? Anybody? Yeah, all across the barn. Maybe God's telling you to be silent. How many of you guys would say, Bo, I feel like God's telling me to be silent, to just kind of shut my mouth for a little bit? Anybody? Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, good. Listen, I'm just telling you, today you have a choice to make, and you need to obey what God says for you to do. In the next few weeks, we're going to talk about some things that I believe that God cares about. And through the strength of God, I hope to deliver some messages that are going to equip you as the church and me as the church on how to fight the good fight of faith for what God cares about. And it may cost us. I'm willing to pay the price. It may cost us people. It may cost us support. It may cost us whatever. I don't really care. All I care about is pleasing the Lord, and I want to reach more people. And so, what is God saying to you today? Maybe you need to make this prayer your prayer of commitment today. Lord, if now's the time to fight, I'm ready. If now's the time for me to be silent, show me that. Show me when to fight and when to be silent. And may I please you in all that I do and all that I say. And may I not wage war against flesh and blood, but may we wage war together against our true enemy, the devil. My prayer is that you would make that commitment today. Lord, I come to you right now and I thank you for those that have given their life to you. And Lord, I know that there are some in this room that are scared to fight this fight. But Lord, I thank you that we don't have to fight it alone. And I thank you that though we may, you know, lose a battle here and there, we may mess something up, we may not say it right, we may not act right, we may fail in our attempts, but you are going to win in the end. And my prayer is that you would receive glory, not shame, and that your name would be honored above all names in the way that we act and in the way that we fight. And so, Lord, today, show us what that looks like and help us to do what you've called us to do. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Bo Haig at Thousand Hills Ranch Church in Woodward, Oklahoma. Please join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. at the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Pine box covered in red and white.